Good morning, everyone. And a very warm welcome, firstly, to councillors, members of the public, staff, and the media. And I declare open this council meeting for the 27th, isn't it?
Yes.
Of September. All right, we do have an apology from Councillor Lawton. I'm happy to move that we accept that.
Second
of Councillor Bell. I'll put it all in favour. Please say aye.
Aye.
Carried. Thank you. We also have a leave of absence request from Councillor Deaker. Moves Councillor Hope. Second of Councillor Neil. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Okay.
Carried. Thank you. Now, I'd like to confirm the agenda, but I do have some proposed changes with Council's permission. And my intention is to move to public forum in a moment. Then we'll confirm the minutes, and then we'll take item 11.1, which is a commercial bus service withdrawal paper, and then move to item 11.2, which is the annual report. We have Mr. Benham with us, and our auditors will be joining us also at around, hopefully, 11 o'clock or soon after, and then proceed on in the normal manner with Chairperson, Chief Executive's report, etc. I don't think I've missed anything there. So I'm happy to move, though, we confirm the agenda with those changes in mind. Second of Councillor Hope, is there any discussion? Everybody comfortable?
Apparently there's a late item.
I have missed something. That is what I had it scribbled on my list here. And we have a late item, which was circulated, I think, on Monday, which is the urban water quality strategy, and my suggestion is we add that in under matters of council decision as item 11.4. I see some nodding heads, so if the mover and seconder are comfortable with that, that will confirm the agenda as amended. All right, I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Are there any conflicts of interest with today's agenda? I haven't been advised of any. All right, we'll move straight on to public forum then. And we're going to start with our climate change declaration, Miss Rosemary Penn-Warden. Rosemary, are you with us? I didn't actually. Yes, you are. Yes. Welcome. As you come up to the public forum, we'll just ask the individual speakers to come to the chair where Rosemary is. And welcome. Now, the rules for public forum state that you have 5 minutes, and then there is an opportunity for councillors to ask any points or clarification. So, welcome, Rosemary, and we're
Thank
in your
you.
Hands.
Thank you. I don't know if this is working. I don't think I need it, actually. I'm Rosemary Penn-Warden, and this is Professor Ralph Adler. We're here to talk to you about this climate declaration, which you've all got a copy of, I believe. This declaration grew from an enormous impatience with those in power. We're tired of waiting for those in charge to get it about the climate. I want to start, first of all, thanking all of you as councillors for the work that you do. It does take a certain civic and community-mindedness to be a councillor, an ability to think beyond your needs and to look at the needs of your city and your region. And these are qualities that are very much needed for the future. We all love and want to protect our home and make it a better place. You've been trusted to be caretakers of our land, our air and our water. Your job is to promote the sustainable development and enhancement of natural and physical resources. Now, you know all of this, of course. I just want to read out a quote from Rod Oram in something he wrote yesterday. The shift from the old economy to a new low emissions economy will be profound and widespread. transforming land use, the energy system, production methods and technology, regulatory frameworks and institutions, and business and political culture. We are in for a hell of a ride, and your job here, of course, is crucial. I've heard this race against time, and it is a race to adapt and mitigate the worst of climate change, being called a great transformation. I think it's quite a good description of what's ahead of us. Now, the bit I quoted from Rod Oram discusses a report by Vivid Economics, which has just come out, and it's called Net Zero New Zealand. How do we make a carbon zero economy by 2050? Well, we can do it, and we have to do it. People are starting to see that cities and regions have an amazing opportunity to show the way, even when their central governments are dragging the chain. We don't even have a government right now, so we don't know what's going to happen there. We do have one of the largest scale problems in the country right here in Dunedin with sea level rise. I will very shortly pass on to Ralph, who will talk a bit more about the declaration. As the regional council, you're currently in charge of transport. Now, that is a biggie in Dunedin. 75% of our greenhouse gas emissions are from petrol and diesel here in Dunedin. Now, electric cars are growing, but does that also help reduce inequality? And I think the reduction of inequality is absolutely crucial going forward for us all. I will pass on now.
Thank you. Hurrah. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Ralph Adler. I'm a professor of accounting at the School of Business at the University of Otago. My research, at least some of my research, includes motivations for why organizations will undertake environmental action. I'm here for two reasons today. First, I want to encourage you to sign the Climate Declaration. My understanding is that all of you have a copy of the declaration. Hoping you'll do it as individuals, but also as a group, as a council, that is. As a signatory, what I'm hoping will happen, and this is from the council point of view, if as an organization you'll do this, is that you will use some of the principles, or the principles in this document, for the decision-making that you undertake. I'm hoping that will inform your decision-making. Secondly, I'm here because I want to encourage you to help our schools stop burning coal. And there are several reasons we should help them stop burning coal. There are healthy reasons and there are economic reasons. Economic reasons. We're likely to see sea level rise of a great magnitude. And that means that we're going to have issues with our economy. That's obvious, okay? I'm not going to go into any more. I've only got a minute and a half at most here. Secondly, a health issue. Coal emits lead, arsenic, mercury. All are compounds or all chemicals, elements, that are harmful, detrimental to our children's health, their education, their learning, and schools, the simple message is, should not be doing this. My research shows that there are two reasons that organizations will change. One is because there's an internal champion. As a school near Nelson, I'll come back to that one. And they're a green gold school. They do not burn any fossil fuels. They look for ways to limit the amount of cars traveling with children to school. They're doing some really incredible but kind of, you know, cutting edge, I would say, kind of practices. We have two green gold schools in Dunedin. Both burn coal. All right, this is a shame. In fact, it shouldn't be allowed to happen. What I'm asking is this. If they're not internal champions at these schools, and I'm afraid that some of these schools don't have internal champions, then we need to go to the next process, which encourages these organizations to have better environmental practices, and that's the regulation. This is your role, as I understand, so I'd ask you today that we have some ambitious goals, and we hold these schools accountable, because otherwise these schools won't change. What they're waiting for is when their furnaces, their coal burners, when they die. That's not right. And it's the message that's being sent to that's wrong that these schools do. Because when other people look at these schools, especially a green gold school, and say, they burn coal, it must be okay. No, it's not.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. You've been very clear. All right. Any points of clarification from councillors? We do have the document that has been circulated. Councillor Scott?
Look, just to make two comments. Firstly, that you've outlined, you know, a very worthy goal in terms of carbon zero by 2050. In terms of your comment that this council has the ability to influence coal-fired furnace boilers at school, I'm not so sure about that. One of our responsibilities is air quality. So, I mean, if a school was to get their coal boiler emitting efficiently, maybe they can address the air quality issue and happen, whereas you're fundamentally looking at like greenhouse gases and so forth. And I would have thought your best opportunity would be, you know, via central government in terms of policy and in terms of capital investment in terms of those changes. Could be wrong, I'll put it out there.
Go.
Yeah. All right. We're not in position to have a debate, I'm afraid. And but we've heard your message, and we've got the document. We'll have a discussion around it at some point, and you've been very clear. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
I think the important thing is to see from the document that we're not waiting for central government. We will definitely be pushing them, but we need to do it in our own community.
Good. Thank you, Rosemary and Ralph.
Thank you.
All right, the next topic on public forum is the cessation of commercial bus services. We have six speakers. They've all had the process and the rules around public forum in that we're 5 minutes. You don't have to fill in the 5 minutes, folks. If you want to be short and concise, that'll be helpful. And I think we'll wrap through all those presentations. And they promised me that there will not be repetition. And then we'll go to some points of clarification from councillors. How's that sound?
Is it your intention after the presentation to take the item?
Yes. Okay. Yes. We'll confirm the minutes as true and accurate of the previous meeting and then go straight to the item, which is, yeah. All right, so first up is Christine Gerridge. Christine, welcome. Use the microphone, that would be helpful.
Yes, certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, councillors, and thank you for the warm welcome this morning. I want to start by reading out something from one of the parents affected by the cessation of the bus service. This parent has three children and lives on the peninsula. The cancellation of the Otago Peninsula school bus will be detrimental to many families on the peninsula. For me personally, I have three children, two who currently catch the school bus and a third to shortly follow. It is their only means of getting to and from school as I work, and my work hours don't coincide with school hours, so I am totally reliant on the school bus getting them to and from school. Without the school bus, I'm not sure how my children would get to and from school. Getting the town bus is, in my opinion, not an option. My children would have to be on the bus at 7:30 a.m. and would not get home until close to 5 p.m. And you'll hear how different children in different areas are affected, and it's even later for some of our families. This is totally ridiculous, long day for them and totally unnecessary. On top of this, I'm not happy with them having to cross very busy main roads, particularly for my youngest one, who will not only have to walk for miles to get to Toon Intermediate, but also negotiate very busy main thoroughfares. In my opinion, this is just not a safe option for our kids to get to school. The safety of our kids should be put ahead of any economic commercial gains made from bus fares. For my three kids to get to school on the current school bus fare of $35 per child per week equates to $105 per week for them to get to school. How is this not viable? Many families are already under enormous financial pressure. We simply couldn't afford a rise in bus fares. The Ministry of Education, schools, ORC and the bus companies must be able to work together to come to some sort of arrangement to get their kids to and from school in a safe way that doesn't put undue hardship on families and their children. I hope something can be done for all the families and children affected by the cancellation of the school bus services. So, and that's Kirsty van Valthoven. So that really sums up the effect on this for many of our families. I want to thank councillors for being open to listening this morning. You have a wonderful resource in all the people that are going to speak to you, and all of the supporters. We have many parents here who are directly affected by this, and they're really keen to be used as a resource for you this morning to understand the situation. I know that Jared Collings and the team have been working hard, and it was as much a surprise to the ORC as it was to the community. The schools, I understand, learnt on Friday. When I spoke with the CEO of GoBus, he led me to believe that it had been much longer. That was the impression I got, much longer conversations with the schools. I was very disappointed to hear that it was Friday. And the parents were expected to learn by a poster on the school bus. Now, anyone that's had a child or a teenager knows that school notices don't even come home, let alone messages from posters on school buses. Just to give you a bit more context, and I'm going to use the peninsula because that's what I know and that's where my daughter caught the bus from. Already students are catching the bus in the dark, in the winter, and not as early as possible, and in the rain, and there aren't a great deal of bus stops. So it's already a long day for them when they're travelling. We have three primary schools on the peninsula, and many families move to those areas because there are great schools. Two of those have capacity to year 8, although parents have an option whether to send their child to intermediate or not. And the children from Company Bay into town do not have a year 7 and 8 option, so they have to go to intermediate in town. Our children tend to be not great with road safety because they're rural kids. They just don't have the same road safety nous, if you like, as urban kids. That comes later when they go to high school. And so it is a real concern as a parent for your child, particularly if your child is 11 and 12, to put them on that bus and think that they're going to have to cross some major thoroughfares. There's an expectation at the moment from the families who've moved out here to the peninsula, as an example, of being able to get their kids to school. And those who have chosen a high school for their children for next year have already done so, and it's been based on there being the existence of a school bus. Now, it's not just a matter of putting on public buses, and I want to just now get to what we want from today and give you an overall idea of that. What I believe people want is an immediate solution for Term 4. However that's achieved through collaboration. You'll hear how the Ministry of Education guidelines don't actually fit for many families, so that's not going to be terribly helpful. A tweak of the timetable, public bus timetable, perhaps is a long-term solution. A change maybe in some of the bus stops, and you've got some capacity issues which you'll hear about as well. And I thank you for your consideration of this, and I do urge you to listen really carefully, as I know you will, and to use the resource you have in the room this morning to better understand the problem and to find a solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next up is Paul Pope, Chairperson of the Peninsula Community Board. Welcome, Paul.
Kia ora, Mr. Chairman and councillors. Thank all the parents for coming today. I did ask them not to bring banners, which I see they've done. So, as you're aware, Mr. Chairman and councillors, this has been a significant issue for us on the Otago Peninsula, and the loss of the school bus, as I say, imminently within the end of the term. To say that my families of my community are outraged really by GoBus's decision, which they see as rather unilateral and probably peevish in some respects. Perhaps we won't go further on that. Also the notion that the new service which you've just rolled out, and I know staff and council have worked very hard on, does not actually replicate the current service we have in relation to school buses. I think it has to be acknowledged, of course, that the Otago Regional Council find itself as the middle of a rather unpleasant transport sandwich while it's rolling out those new services. But obviously for us, it means that some of our kids are going to have a pretty punishing day. If you live at Harrington Point, you'll start at 7.07, you have a couple of options depending on which school you go to. Some of that includes having a 1.6 kilometre walk from Anderson's Bay if you're in years 7 and 8, or you can try and hopefully catch the adjoining Ocean Grove bus as well. I have to say, your journey planner on your website is actually very good. It's been very useful from this perspective. And the similar options also for kids returning, and also for Kings and Queens students, actually the journey is actually even more longer and more difficult. Perhaps just to sum up a few of the things rather than go into too much detail, and I've just got a few bullet points here which I'm sure you're looking relieved when I say that I've got bullet points. First of all, that one of the things about living on the peninsula, living in Dunedin in general, is our weather is not that great at times, particularly in the winter. And one of the things about having to make your way to Anderson's Bay as the central route from either of the schools is not that great. And there are extremely tight timeframes to get from school to that particular bus stop to make sure that you have the right connection. And for example, if you're living at Harrington Point and you miss the bus, the last bus, then there's a chance that you won't get home until 10 to 7 in the evening. Now in the winter that will mean it will be dark. Traffic conditions, Christine has already mentioned that. As I say, we talk about the winter, which is not that great. The other issue, of course, is recently we've had some rather nasty incidents relating to stranger danger in South Dunedin, which the police have made a mention of. But most importantly, another important thing issue is, of course, in the next 3 to 4 years, the Portobello Road is going to be a construction site. With the Peninsula Connection Project and the road widening, there is a very good likelihood that there will be traffic delays on that road. So if you're trying to make your way at a rapid rate of knots to meet a connecting bus at Anderson's Bay to either Tahuna or to Kings or Queens, there's a very good likelihood that you may miss that bus. One of the other issues with us in relation to walking and distance is kids with disabilities or injuries who may find some that the distance for them is too much. The notion that obviously bus patronage, you want to increase bus patronage, but I see actually if we don't improve this or complete the service, you'll probably have less thumbs on seats and more likely more vehicles on the road.
All right.
Finally, I'll just quickly go to the end of this, really, and that is to say, really, that for us, the loss of the school bus service on the Otago Peninsula is actually a real threat to our community, and also for some people in the lower income end of things, it also represents significant hardship as well. So hopefully you'll take the time to look at this and understand our situation, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, Tony. You're up next. Introduce Mr. Tony Hunt, Principal of Tahuna.
Welcome. Thank you, and thank you for listening to me today, and thanks for everyone turning up to support this issue. I can only concur with what the other two speakers have spoken about, and I might touch on and reinforce some of those things, but it's fair to say the cancellation of the services to our school and school community has caught everyone off guard. No one expected this to happen, and unfortunately it has happened as a result to the new bus changes. We can't understand how GoBus came to arrange this change, and I've spoken about that in the media already. The time frame has been too short. Our parent community needs surety until a reasonable long-term outcome can be put in place. This needs to be done in the next 2 days before the end of term. So I'm asking the Otago Regional Council to consider that and help us put something in place. We would like the Otago Regional Council to carry on the existing Peninsula bus run to our schools. As the bus is full in the morning, and in the afternoon it's overflowing, there's many of my students are standing. We believe, as that's the case, we believe that there are plenty of money covering the cost of those fares. GoBus certainly found it that way. We have 53 children that use that bus service, and the numbers are growing. I think you need to consider if all our students did travel on the Portobello public bus, an extra bus would be needed because you wouldn't be wanting members of the public standing in the aisles. So an extra bus would have to be put on anyway if everybody went on that bus. the option of our students travelling on the public bus run from Portobello is not a realistic or safe option. You've heard about that. Our children would have to board the bus really early, get to Midland Street outside McDonald's, and then walk across 9 busy intersections to get to Tahuna, a walk of 1.6 k's. Dunedin's weather is not flash all the time, so that's another thing that they'd have to encounter, and do that 2 times a day. I want to also, for the Otago Regional Council, to bear in mind that our buses are full of impressionable young people. If they have a bad experience of bus transport, they're not likely to use them in the future. So no one wants to use a bus service that doesn't adequately meet their needs, and the public option from Portobello in its current format certainly does not. On the positive side, we've been speaking with the Ritchie's Bus Company about the situation. They are committed to finding a solution to the bus transport situation on the peninsula. They would like to work with the Otago Regional Council in finding a solution. I ask you today to follow that up. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Judith. Introduce Miss Judith Forbes, Principal of Bayfield High School. Welcome, Judith.
Kia ora koutou. As I've been introduced, I am the Principal at Bayfield, and it's nice to see Michael. You knew me in my former position as DP at Whanganui High School. Nice to see you again. I'm speaking on behalf of Bayfield High School students and their families, including their younger siblings who are currently or who will be attending Tahuna Normal Intermediate in the future. I fully appreciate that the Otago Regional Council has been as surprised and disappointed about the Go Bus decision as the families and the schools are. The lack of pre-warning about this, about the cancellation of their school bus services, meant that nobody knew that they were so heavily dependent on the urban bus network and timetable for getting kids safely to and from school. My greatest concerns are regarding safety and timing. Nobody has even approached the schools at this point to ask what time our schools start and finish. And I would have thought this would be the first question when planning a bus schedule to meet the needs of school children. The effect of the changes on our families varies a little depending on how far out on the peninsula they live. And for all peninsula families, Bayfield is their nearest appropriate secondary school. For example, we have some students living at the Cove. One of these students tried walking to school one day. You will be aware that the only footpath is also in places the cycle lane. This young boy arrived at school bleeding and quite badly injured, having been hit by a cyclist travelling at high speed. Unsurprisingly, he has not been willing to attempt walking again. We have several students who cycle to school. Our peninsula kids would be putting their lives at risk if they dared to attempt this, with the heavy and high-speed traffic travelling on this narrow and winding road, most of which has a 70 km/h speed limit, and which will be carrying even more heavy transport during the widening process. So the only options left to them are using public transport or private cars. The new bus timetable will either get Bayfield students to school well before 8 a.m, that is more than half an hour early, or about 20 to 25 minutes late. Neither of these options makes any sense. While they could join our breakfast club, which we put on to meet the needs of families who cannot afford to give their children breakfast, they could join that if they arrive really early. This seems an unnecessary hardship. If they arrive almost half an hour late each day, they will miss 95 hours of teaching time every year, or just short of 4 complete weeks of lessons. That is almost half a term, just because of a bus timetable which does not cater for their needs. After school, the same poor scheduling is repeated. Either they have to leave school early and miss even more learning time, or they must wait around for an hour. I do not believe that any of these choices is tolerable. What we need, and it does not seem unreasonable, is a bus service that includes a stop close to the school on either Shore Street or Musselburgh Rise, and a timetable that makes it possible for them to attend school on time and to leave at a sensible time each and every day. The impact on some of our families, if this does not happen, is likely to increase dropout rates for our schools, particularly of some of our most vulnerable Otago families. I would also contend that many of these families have no alternative transport, and they are already struggling financially. I have already appealed strongly to Ngāi Holdings, who are the majority shareholder in Go Bus, regarding the impact of their decision, particularly on their own Otago children and their education, but it seems highly unlikely that they will change their minds. I now appeal strongly to you to meet the needs of the young people of this city.
Thank you, Judith. Heidi.
Stephen, what time do we ask questions?
We're going to, yes, at the end. We'll have all the information. So welcome, Heidi. Heidi Hayward, Principal of D&I, Dunedin North. Welcome.
So I will endeavour not to double up.
Thank you.
And it will be short, I assure you. But I absolutely support what my colleagues have said. I'm here as an advocate of public transport. I think it's important that the community supports it, and I do understand that as the regional council you do need to make changes to keep pace with the community needs. I'm also here as an advocate for children. It's clearly important that they have safe and efficient options for getting to school. And I do appreciate that this situation has taken many by surprise. In fact, we did communicate with GoBus last Tuesday ahead of this information. Some of our children actually did read the posters in the bus shelter and came to school and asked if this was going to affect them. And we communicated with GoBus on that Tuesday and they told us it absolutely would not affect us. We had that in writing and we went out and told our community that it would not affect them. And then on Friday we got an email from GoBus to say that it would now affect us and that our service was being cancelled. And I spent quite some time on the phone on Friday and also on Monday to the Regional Council and to GoBus to try and clarify the situation, and I did point out that if I pressed go on the email that there might be a situation like this, but it didn't seem that there was a lot of concern about that at the time. I can see now from reading some of the documentation that the Otago Regional Council has had plans in place for some time around withdrawing from school services. However, our concern at D&I is that we haven't been consulted about this, and nor did we see the need to get involved in the consultation because we had no idea it was going to affect us. For our students now, they will be able to get as far as the Otago Museum and then they'll need to go on to George Street and catch another bus. And I would agree with the previous speakers that it's very difficult for kids at this age who for the first time are leaving their little rural school to get the bus in the first place, let alone get one bus, get off one bus, get on another bus, and then have those same transitions at the other end of the day. We are really open to being a part of finding a solution, but that solution is going to take time, and like the other speakers have said, our kids who are already with us now are stressing, and our families who have already enrolled for next year and made those decisions based on many years of expectation of a bus service find themselves now panicking about what they need to do next year. So I believe that the solution needs to work for this year and for next year to allow some time for enough notice to be given to people of the changes.
Thank you, Heidi. And last speaker, Kirsten, is it? Nilsson?
Mm-hmm.
A parent. Welcome.
Thank you. My name's Kirsten Nilsson and I'm speaking as a parent representative, and I was one of the few families, relatively speaking, that could make it here today at this time of the day with relatively short notice. I know of many other families that wanted to come and show their support but couldn't. There's a couple of extra points I'd like to emphasise about the cancellation of the Peninsula School bus service from a parental perspective. I'm the parent of a child with a disability who attends Tahuna Normal Intermediate. My eldest son has high-functioning autism, but with some initial support, he's been regularly and happily using the Peninsula School bus service since the beginning of last year. He was looking forward to continuing to use this bus service next year when he started at Bayfield High School. I also have two younger children at Portobello School for whom the possible lack of a school bus service directly affects their futures, as they are too likely to affect Tahuna and then go on to high school in town. I'm sure I speak for most parents when I say that the alternative normal Portobello bus route to town is not a safe option for our children going to Tahuna, because at 11 and 12 years old, they are too young to be unsupervised catching a regular public bus for such a long distance into town. They have to cross the busy roads, which has been mentioned, but most of the crossings are uncontrolled. They'd have to walk unsupervised for several kilometres through the back streets of Dunedin. And as mentioned, they have to wait for long periods at bus shelters, but most of those bus shelters are unsheltered, so they will arrive at school and at home wet and cold on many days. Unlike the vast majority of the many other families on the peninsula affected by the cancellation of this service, having a disability makes my son eligible for an alternative, special education school transport assistance, which is paid for through the Ministry of Education. And this is essentially a taxi service to and from school every day. As a family, we've never wanted or needed to use this particular service before, as the school bus has been an incredibly important part of his social inclusion in the community and essential to the development of his independence as he heads towards high school, as it is for many other children coming and going on that school bus. To us, it's a sad waste of taxpayer money to have to use this service in lieu of a school bus, which works so well for so many children. The school bus maintains an important role in the social network of many kids on the Otago Peninsula as they go off to different schools through their intermediate and secondary school years, and it nurtures the kinds of connections that make small rural communities on the outskirts of Dunedin such special places to live and maintains that sense of community going forward into the future. Many families with young children at Portobello School and other schools on the peninsula will be like us, however, as they contemplate the future and whether or not they can remain living on the peninsula, with older children going to school in town when transport to and from intermediate and high schools becomes a major difficulty to manage, their children are possibly unsafe and unsupervised on the route to and from school, and they have to juggle pickups with younger children at primary school. They, like us, may have to consider moving. This will have major negative long-term effects on the schools and the communities on the peninsula, as well as affecting which schools in town are chosen by peninsula families. Without an alternative school bus route, the axing of this essential service will affect many, many children and their families for many years of their education. The lack of consultation and the short notice given by Go Bus Company sadly shows how little they understood how vital this service is, how many families it will affect, and the long-term consequences of having no school bus. Right now, the lack of certainty regarding a future school bus service is creating a huge amount of stress and insecurity for many peninsula families. I hope the Otago Regional Council will take these points into consideration and help oversee setting up a viable alternative as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you to all the presenters. Are there any points of clarification, councillors? Bearing in mind we'll move in the next first item on the agenda to the actual discussion. So, yeah, Councillor Noon.
So it's just a point of clarification around the request, the collective request about a short-term solution, and then I hear a longer-term solution as well. So is the request for both? Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Good point. Councillor Laws?
School transport in this country is the responsibility of the Ministry of Education. Always has been. Has any have you as a collective made any submission to the Ministry of Education? Please.
The Ministry of Education criteria for a ministry funding for the solution is absolutely extraordinary. I don't have all of the rules here with me, but if there is anything that the ministry deems a suitable public service, then students are not eligible for any support from the ministry. A suitable public service, if it leaves any time from 7 a.m. onwards, is regarded by the ministry as acceptable.
Sorry, I'll ask that question again.
So,
have you, as a collective, approached the Ministry of Education?
And yes, most definitely.
And was that their response to you formally?
So they told us what the criteria are for help from the Ministry of Education that does not cover the children on the peninsula.
And I think there's two parts to that too, because we're not asking for a subsidised service, so you're quite correct. The ministry are responsible for providing subsidised services to the local school. Our issue here is that there are more schools in Dunedin. We're not asking for the service to be paid for. We're saying people should have the opportunity to send the children to the school that they wish to send them to and pay for that service in an efficient sort of a manner.
So let me clarify that then. You are looking for a commercial service in which you had have no objection to the parents paying the cost of the service.
The parents are currently paying the cost of the service.
Yeah. Well, obviously not, because otherwise it would be making a profit and
well,
still
we
have
don't
it.
Have those figures though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have asked, I have asked for those figures. I was told I've had them by now, but I haven't seen them.
Right, Councillor Hope, did you hear that?
Yes, thank you. This is just for Ms. Judith Forbes. Could you tell me, please, how many of your students at Bayfield would be affected? We know there's 53 from Tahuna.
I'm sorry, I don't know the numbers. Some students catch the bus, some students get a ride into town and get the bus home. I think we would probably be looking at between 40 and 60 Bayfield students.
Thank you.
Councillor Deaker, then Councillor Kemp.
Yeah, I want to go back to a comment that Tony Hunter made, because it seemed to me to be the key to the whole issue. The community had, obviously, a really important, you've described as vital, arrangement with GoBus. GoBus suddenly yanked out and said, no, not making enough money or not making any money, not going to do it anymore. There are other bus companies. Why can't the peninsula simply go and find another provider of the same service or even better?
Yeah,
now, you said you mentioned Ritchie's. Well, what did they say?
They wanted to have a discussion with the Otago Regional Council.
But it's your business.
Well, I think there is a situation where they're already contracted to a public bus company. So when we approached them, they couldn't comment much on it because there didn't want to be a conflict of interest in what they're doing. But they did say that they would look at finding a solution that the Otago Regional Council allowed them to.
I had the same response from Richard yesterday.
If we allowed them to.
Yeah, exactly. Strange.
That sounds very odd.
That's something we can ask, confirm with staff and...
Well, thanks for clarifying that, Tony.
Shortly, yeah. Councillor Kempton?
I think that any bus company would be interested in a compelling commercial proposition. Mm-hmm. Any bus company would be. Clearly, GoBus have said this is not a compelling commercial proposition for us. They've disappeared. So what their figures are, in my view, hasn't got a whole lot to do with it. They just decide it's not compelling enough. But one of the things that we need to get a feel for is how compelling it can be made. That is, do your neighbours drive their kids to school in a car? What is the potential size of the market? Because no bus company is going to take much of an interest unless it can wrap its head around that.
Chairman.
And I'm wondering if anybody's got any data around that. Is what proportion of kids who are coming into town, or rather what proportion of, say, For instance, it might be one to Director Tahuna, and I'm not singling Tahuna out, it's just one that comes to mind, is that you've got that year 7 and 8 kids. What's the potential total number of kids that could use a bus compared with the number that are using them? Those questions are questions that we probably don't have the answer to, and maybe you people do or don't, and I'm really asking that question, and how we get those answers.
Right, so there's a bit of information being asked for there. I'm not sure anybody's in a position to answer it today, but we'll just, councillors, constrict ourselves to points of clarification, please.
Yep. I can...
Can you supply that information later?
I guess so.
Councillor Scott.
No, thank you. Prior to this situation arising, was the service provided by GoBus a satisfactory service from your perspective?
Brilliant.
Okay.
The bus is completely full. The children get on the bus right outside the school, dropped off right outside the school. It's unbelievable that it's not viable.
I
would say that the reason that the Otago GoBus have pulled out of it is because they lost another contract, which I think Richie's has got now, that made the whole hundred together, made it viable.
Yeah.
More viable. We're just simply not prepared to take the risk on it with the our bus.
GoBus's argument was that the because they lost the contract, they were subsidising the Portobello service based on the other contracts that they had, the other services that were providing in the public. But again, you see, this is what's different when you listen to Tony Hunter and you listen to the other schools and they talk about the numbers of people using the bus. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, this is possibly different to that, and I can see that it may not be commercially viable, but this is where we would have needed to be involved in the consultation. Because if I would have no problem with our kids catching the public bus if it could make two variations to the route, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, to get them closer to school. And I believe that's happened in the past. It's in the when I went to Queen Tide 4 many years ago.
All right, any further points of clarification? Councillors.
Karen, I just wanted to say my only dissatisfaction with the previous bus service was that in the afternoon coming home, it was so overcrowded that children often had to stand on that windy road. It was full to overflow.
Thank you.
Last comment.
Kings and Queens picked Tahuna up, and that's the one that's really full. It would make more sense if Tahuna and Bayfield combined, because the Bayfield one isn't so full. It's closer. If Kings and Queens came out on their own, then Bayfield and Tahuna could join one.
Right. Thank you. So we're getting into some detail there that's probably not able to be handled around our table.
Stephen?
All right.
Can I just ask the question?
I've been very lax.
I know you have. Good on you. and it is this. I want to make sure that this paper is inadequate that we're going to discuss. It doesn't include any numbers or anything like that. I want to make sure that, that before these people leave the room, that we actually have a handle on the actual numbers involved. There's a lot of anecdotal stuff coming in from the submitters. There's nothing in this paper about the numbers at all. So is there some way that we can clarify before these good people leave the numbers that are involved at their schools so that we can get a real handle on this issue?
I think the relationships and the contacts are in place, so that's something that can be followed up depending on our conversation and decision coming up shortly.
Well, we're about to enter a discussion without a basic piece of information, and that is the numbers of people involved, the numbers of kids involved, at what age level they are, and how far they're located from their particular schools.
So that would be very important for the long-term solution, and as you say, there's plenty of resource and willingness to contribute to that. But the immediate concern is what's going to happen in term four. So I think you need to separate that.
No, we don't. We need them both together.
Anyway, we can. There is some information that staff will be able to provide. All right, thank you everyone and the presenters and the parents that have come to support. We appreciate the concerns that you've been expressing. You've been very clear in presenting them to us today. And welcome to stay and listen to the debate, which will start in a couple of minutes on this
this paper that is coming to council. So I just want to acknowledge your time and effort you've put in today. Thank you. All right, we'll move then to item 8, which is confirming the minutes of the 16th of August. They've been circulated as part of your agenda. Are you comfortable that they're true and accurate record? Somebody prepared to move that way? Councillor Robertson, seconded Councillor Noon. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Item 9, the actions, there are two items on the action sheet and they're both closed. So we'll just note those. And we'll now move then on to item 11.1, which is indeed the commercial bus service withdrawal paper. Welcome, Mr. Collins. And so the paper is reasonably self-explanatory. And we've already heard this morning that this decision has come as a bit of a surprise, including as a surprise to the Regional Council. The services that are being withdrawn are listed, and some comment on the community response. And then there are a number of options outlined, A to F. And Mr. Donnelly or Mr. Collins, is there anything else you would like to spell out in the way of introduction to this paper?
Nothing from me. I don't know.
Mr. Collins?
Just if I can pick up on a couple of items that, or a couple of matters that Councillor Law has raised.
Yes.
I won't go into the adequacy of the paper, but it was presented to Council in time to make a timely decision with the information we had available.
Yes.
We did seek patronage numbers from GoBus.
Yep.
They do not have those available, or were not prepared to give those to us. I believe that's primarily in the way that they are collecting the fares and not counting the numbers, so to speak. Confirming that GoBus have given indication to us in relation to the cost of the service that it has costed them now, I don't have any comfort with the accuracy of those numbers based on I am not certain whether or not they include capital replacement which was required in relation to their services. I can, however, confirm for this council that the services that they have withdrawn based on the information they provided to us and the Ministry of Education, we're losing in the vicinity of about $70,000 per annum.
Yeah. Can you answer the other question? Are we in a position to have some estimate of the likely cost of, for example, option C or D?
Based on that information, and it's the best that we can have available at this point in time, that would appear to be the underlying value of the services. The difference between fare and operating service. Until we actually get a direction from council about engaging with an operator or operators, we won't define those costs.
We can't define those costs. No.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right. Open the paper up for.
Well, I just want to come back to this issue because we must be able to collate the information as to how many people are using the service now. If GoBus aren't providing those figures, then the schools will certainly have a rough estimate of those numbers that are travelling on buses if they're not a derelict in their responsibility. We also need to know to get some quantum of this. I mean, we're being asked to make a decision today when we don't have all the information available as to the extent of the issue. I know Dunedin relatively well, I guess, but I guess there's two strands, isn't there? There's one strand, Gerald, that comes in from the sort of Portobello end and that MacAndrew end into and feeds into what, Tahuna Intermediate and Bayfield?
If I may, through the chair, that service that goes in through to Bayfield, Tahuna Intermediate, also services Kings, Queens,
okay.
And then heads off up the hill to Kavanagh, Otago Girls, Otago Boys, in the hill suburbs as well.
So it's one bus?
No, there are a number of buses that are involved in this.
Okay, all right. So how many?
In relation to the services that are outlined, for each of the services that are bullet pointed, there is one bus.
Five.
So there are five buses altogether?
Correct.
And how many people would roughly be on one of those buses on any day?
again, through the chair, that's not information that staff have available to them. Staff have endeavoured to provide a report to council so that council can make a decision and give direction to staff about how we might proceed in a timely manner that allows the schools some certainty about this council's position on the way forward.
Okay, well, I'm asking for that information because I can't make a decision unless I have some basic information about the numbers that are going to be using the service. Good grief, this is just standard stuff.
The council laws is not making any decision. The schools are making decisions.
Okay, so
we're not trying to intervene and take over a private service here. This is essentially a matter that the schools and the community have arranged with a bus company.
No,
the bus company, for whatever reason, has said, not doing that anymore. They can go to the bus company.
Yep.
I want to hear about that.
No, excuse me. I'm asking for information. I'm not having a debating point. No, I'm happy to debate Councillor Deaker on that issue because I think he's wrong. But I'm asking for some basic information, Mr. Chairman. And the basic information is we need to get some handle of the numbers that are involved coming in from the two separate strands. This is not, I would have thought this is standard stuff. That will give us some indication of the kind of service that might be required.
Mr. Chairman, I'm being asked to make a decision in principle. We don't need all that detail.
Yes, so the answer has been given already, I'll come to you in a minute, Councillor Neil, that we're not in a position to provide that data. Councillor Neil.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I thought I should have been first to speak, given that I'm a lifetime Peninsula resident, but one colleague beat me to it. Anyway, it's quite obvious, those that have read the agenda, that ORC is sympathetic to the situation that the schools have found themselves in. I don't believe it's fair to bag GoBus, and I think we should resist that temptation. They've made a commercial decision, and they were perfectly entitled to make that commercial decision. However, we've been asked to what we can do to help that situation. Christine Gary summed up pretty well. Well, there's two solutions, the term four solution, and then what two from there. This morning, I don't believe we should be debating what to from there. We should only be debating the term four solution. Councillor Laws is correct. To debate properly the final solution, there's nowhere near enough information. So in reading that staff want a steer on where to from here, in my mind, option D pretty well covers that. There may have to be, in fact, an increase in fares because we don't know all that information, but that is just part of the option. That I actually preferred option C, but looking at it now, I think probably D would be my preferred option. So that's my take on the matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Neil. Councillor Scott?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of the things that have been said. I agree with Councillor Laws that at some point we need to know the cost. I mean, otherwise, what are we agreeing to? I agree with Councillor Neil's approach in terms of just affirming that we, as a council, or my personal view is that we should be sympathetic to the situation. And that our immediate focus also should be on a term for solution. In my view, as a principled approach, my preference is option C, to provide funding assistance, preferably jointly with the schools and with the ministry. So from my perspective, it would be to give staff the mandate to discuss the situation, aiming for a solution as quickly as possibly. Maybe we need to delegate to the CE and to the chair that when those costs are actually realised, that they themselves can give approval, assuming it's reasonable. But we have to get on with this. And as a council, we need to show ourselves in this difficult situation as being able to respond and having the will to respond. And that's where I sit, that from a world perspective, we want to get in there and support our community in a difficult and an unfair situation, in my view. My question to the staff, maybe to Gerald, is can he foresee a situation in terms of negotiations where for the short term we can relatively quickly go back to the status quo services? Or, I mean, that might be an unreasonable question as well, but I'd be interested to know what the response is.
Mr. Collins, you have a response?
Is there light at the end of the tunnel on this for a short-term solution?
So, in relation to the short-term options that that staff have presented to council,
yeah,
they are merely to allow those affected time to sort out their travel options and opportunities beyond term four. They don't perceive any involvement of this council going forward beyond that.
I'm talking about term four.
And for term four, our desire would be that it wouldn't be the council as the contracting entity. It would potentially be the schools. But that's a discussion we need to have with the schools.
Thank you. Councillor Robertson?
I support Councillor Scott. I believe option C is the best approach. I think term four is 2.5 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Very close. We don't know what our contribution would be. I believe the contracting entity would need to be the schools. They would need to negotiate with the bus company, and our contribution, don't know at this point, but people are left hanging. And we're hearing anecdotal evidence that buses are full on the peninsula route. We have no idea what they're like to Sawyers Bay and other areas. We need to gather all that up. The picture will most likely be quite different for next year, I think. But a relationship hopefully can be established with the bus company, whoever that may be, and we can look at how commercial those routes actually are and take it from there. It may well be that public buses need to be used for some of those routes. Maybe all of them. We don't know at this point. However, in 2.5 weeks, kids need to get to school. So let's sort that out together for term four.
Yep. Well, thank you. Councillor Laws?
Listen, I've got no opposition to that at all. So short-term, long-term. I guess the interesting thing about the collective that arrived here today, and if that's the community and school expectation, is that the solution or the involvement of the Otago Regional Council is going to be at their site more extensive than term four. You know, they're looking for a long-term solution. Now, we heard a whole lot of information about, you know, everything from autistic children and disabled kiddies being disadvantaged through to the drop in house prices and people having to relocate. Now, it concerns me that that even in devising the short-term solution, we need to be aware that there is an expectation that's arrived in the Chamber this morning that the Otago Regional Council is involved for the duration in this in some way, shape or form. And that would be, I think, an option that we need to locate to that collective now, that that is not the preferred option of the Otago Regional Council if we are making that decision. And I think we need to make that decision today and communicate it so that it's quite clear that if there is going to be a short-term solution, the Otago Regional Council doesn't see itself as being responsible 2018 onwards. So that's the first thing. It's a question of getting our message correct, if that's the message we wish to send. I do also just want to say something, and it is this. This seriously should not be dropped on our lap. The Ministry of Education should have stepped up big time on this one. And that it's come to the ORC is a dereliction of duty of the Ministry of Education. Crises happen all the time in school transport. I've been involved in a large number of issues both as a Member of Parliament and as a Mayor. And can I say that I'm surprised that when the Ministry of Education wants to move, we've managed to get solutions in 24 hours, you know, and long-term solutions. And really, this is a time when I would have thought that local members of Parliament, and particularly those who are on the government side, who are residents in our city, should be part of the solution and us going forward. Because it's a very simple thing of them going to the Ministry of Education like I did and saying, I've got a problem, can you sort it? Unbelievably, the issue was sorted literally in the room. And that's the sort of solution that we need now too. So I'd like to think that our local members of Parliament are drawn into this discussion straight away. because I see the long-term solution as being one that comes out of central government, not out of local government.
Councillor Deaker, then Councillor Kempton.
Yeah, I must be missing something here. I think I... It seems... Tell me where I've got this wrong. A group of people contracted a service from a company. The service was satisfactory. Everybody was reasonably happy, except the people providing the service, for whatever reason, decided to stop. Now, that is the story, isn't it? Now, I agree with Councillors Scott and Roberts, and there's some community urgency about this. I can see that. And I feel for the people over there. They need what they had straight away to assure themselves of access to good schools. Now, it seems to me that our role, therefore, is to facilitate, if we need to, but I don't imagine we do, because these school principals are expert at this stuff, to provide avenues towards them picking up a replacement service. They've been to Ritchie's. Ritchie said they had to come and talk to us. I just don't understand that, why they'd have to. But if we can clarify that little roadblock, maybe that's the end of the story. And Ritchie's, big company that they are, trundle in the buses at whatever capacity is required to meet the needs of the peninsula community and the schools that will do a contract with them. So why are we talking about, apart from our routes having to be maybe tweaked a little here and there, on the peninsula to be more in sync, but I don't know why we're making a big deal out of this. We can help with the replacement contract, maybe, but why should we go further than that?
Councillor Kempton?
I certainly don't want to see ORC involved in contracting bus companies to provide transport specifically for school children. The bus network we have, substantially supported by NZTA and is a requirement of theirs, is a bus service which is a best fit for all users. And certainly in 2014 when we set it up, that was exactly what we were talking about. Now, all users are school children, commuters, old people, young people, you name it. So that is our public transport network. On the other hand, I'm not suggesting for a moment that we shouldn't assist with Term 4 in some way or another, and that might actually involve some cost. But one thing troubles me just a little bit about that, and that is that all of the ratepayers of Dunedin would be supporting some peninsula people who have made a choice to bypass schools that go to Year 8 and send their kids into town. So they've made a choice, and for a short period, the whole of Dunedin's ratepayers will be helping to pay for that. That's one of the reasons why I'd say I don't think most of them would complain about that in the short term, but in the long term I don't see that as an option. I think that we don't want to be chasing a rainbow, but it looks to me, on the basis of just a couple of numbers that have been thrown around here, that a compelling commercial proposition may not be a rainbow. I've heard, and I mean this is only what I've heard here today, and what I've gleaned from that, that GoBus are saying they're making a $70,000 a year loss. It seems to me five buses, and we know that some of them are packed with more than 50 kids, would be at least 100 kids a day, that's 200 trips. Do a quick sum, add $1.70 to the fare, and you've closed the gap over a 40-week year. Maybe it's not quite 40 years, I'm not, 40 weeks, I'm not familiar with that. So all I'm saying is that it doesn't sound to me as though there is a rainbow to be chased here, that there is the potential for a compelling proposition. And what I would suggest is that there is a deal to be struck, in my view, and that is, if ORC were to help keep Turn 4 rolling in one way or another, that the community does absolutely everything in its power to maximise that patronage. If that means extra buses, it means extra buses. I don't think that's a biggie. To maximise patronage over Term 4. So go talk to your neighbours, who you know drive their kids to school in the car, and say, hey, come on, let's get together and use this bus. And then, by the end of Term 4, there's a compelling commercial proposition that someone is going to grab. So in my view, this is a partnership with the community over Term 4. You people show us what you can do. We provide what assistance we can to keep the wheels running. And I think that's pretty fair. I like deals like that. So if that can be done, well, what I'm suggesting is that I'm very happy to go with C, but I would like the community to put its shoulder to the wheel on that as well.
Thank you. Now, I've got Councillor Noon, then Councillor Scott, who's already spoken, and I thank Councillor Laws. But I just want to say a couple of words first, and I'm going to propose a recommendation. It's mostly all been said. I don't see a role for ORC in this long term. There may be options to tweak our existing services to make them better compatible in some cases, but that'll be something I'm sure staff will be able to have a look at. So the recommendation I will move is that ORC facilitate a discussion with the Ministry of Education, Schools and NZTA to find a solution to the withdrawal of the commercial bus services, which may include a financial contribution from ORC, on the condition that, one, any financial contribution from ORC be for Term 4 2017 only, and B, the Chair and CE be delegated responsibility for negotiating any ORC contribution. Yes, you can pass that on. Thank you, Mr. Bodecker.
Can I amend that with your agreement? Because, I could second that, but I amend it, and it will at least foreshadow an amendment, perhaps, if it's, yeah. And that is that we have reported progress. So this is going to move very quickly. If we make this resolution today, Jill will go off and the ORC, and we won't have time to get to the next committee meeting before a resolution is reached.
Yep. So happy to add that on the regular updates are brought or circulated to council.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So
is that going to be a three?
That'll be a three.
Three.
So regular
updates are provided to council.
Thank you.
Doesn't mean to say it has to come to a council meeting.
No.
Yeah.
What's this council going to do then if the providers of bus services to Mosgiel, bringing kids out of Mosgiel into city schools, if they decide, not enough profit in this, we're out? Are we going to do the same again and again and again?
Well, that's the long-term solution.
We have no business in this. It's a private arrangement.
All right, so that, I'm moving the motion. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that on the motion.
Seconder, Councillor Laws.
Councillor Bell.
Councillor Noon, Councillor Scott, then Councillor Bell.
Sort of stole my thunder a little bit, Mr. Chairman, because I absolutely agree with the, forget about the long-term solution and at this point in time, and I'm very lukewarm about the idea of, in terms of the long-term, that the ORC launch back into providing school services, so absolutely accept that. In terms of the short term, I think that we have a moral obligation and even actually more than that, because the implementation of the new regime has essentially, this has been an unfortunate consequence of that. So for that reason, I think we've got a moral obligation. And as the operator of public transport in Dunedin, we've also got an obligation to be at the forefront of those negotiations, simply because another provider would have to get approval by this organisation to provide a service. So I think that's absolutely fundamental. And I support both your three now, the recommendations that you've suggested. So
thank you, Councillor Scott.
Yeah, I mean, you've stolen my thunder as well, so I support that option C. But in reference to Councillor Deeker's question, I'd like to think in terms of these discussions with the Ministry, you know, to raise the point that this is, you know, we found ourselves in an unacceptable situation, and they need to relook at their contracts or whoever's schools or whatever's got in terms of this gnosis period. One of the key reasons we're reacting like we are is because we feel like we're, you know, the community's put in an unreasonable situation. So, you know, that needs to get on top of. We don't want to be in the situation again.
Right. So there's no ministry involvement here at all, is my understanding.
Well, option C says...
No, there will be in future, though.
Yeah. Option C says...
Councillor Bell?
Hang on. Option C says in relation dealing with the ministry.
Righto. Just before we go to Councillor Bell, Mr Collins, can you just
clarify... Can I give some clarity to the council through the chair?
Yeah, thank you.
My understanding is there is no contract in place for the services that are being cancelled.
Yes.
So it is a commercial operation.
Yep.
Under the Land Transport Management Act, that is deemed to be an excluded service, so it does not require registration with this council either.
Right.
So there is no notification for the implementation of the services, nor their withdrawal in accordance with the Act.
Yep, so it's purely commercial arrangement between a bus company and some parents.
There is no commercial arrangement, it's a commercial decision of the bus company to run the service.
Yep, thank you. Councillor Bell.
Yeah, just, Mr Chairman, just a clarification on that. We're our part of the finance that would need to be required. Does Transport have a reserve account, or how are you going to get it out of the rating system? I'll be through you, Nick.
Mr Donnelly or Mr Collins?
If I may, through the Chair, the Dunedin Special Rating District for Public Transport does have a reserve, and it would be appropriate for this particular, if councillors of the mind, to provide any assistance to come out of that reserve. The peninsula is part of that rating area.
Yeah, I was going to say, so just clarify, the peninsula is part of it.
Thank you. I just wanted to know how we were going to pay for it, so that's good. I'm happy with C on that basis.
All right, I'm keen to move on, so and I'm being very lax.
Thank you. You're a wonderful man. two quick questions to Gerald, Stephen. And here they are.
Gerald,
sorry. First question. The reason that we're involved in this, to answer Michael's question, is why. So how is the Otago Regional Council's new bus table, or timetables, or tabling, how did that relate to the Go Bus decision? Because the two are being related publicly. Does that existence happen or not?
Mr. Bodica, do you want to...
I mean the question, thank you, Mr. Chairman, the question as to why we got involved was because it was a community, it was a community matter. And we get involved in a lot of community matters, some of which you can argue are our responsibility under law, and some of which are our responsibility because of choice. And this was an issue that came up. It was mixed up in our major change to bus services. And one way to disassociate it was to say that the governing body, which is an appropriate body, should have this conversation, which is what this governing body is doing right now. And that is why the paper was written at short notice with limited information, so that the governors of the regional council could have the discussion which you've had. So it was a matter of public interest, and I determined public importance, which is why I asked my staff to write the paper.
Well, nothing to go, but not the answer to the question. The question was, in the public, the two issues have been connected. The Otago Regional Council decision for a new bus plan in Dunedin and the withdrawal of this service. Is there any connection, in your view, at all?
If I can, through the chair, my view is there is not. One of the things that you'll see that we've mentioned in this paper is a desire for this to assist the schools in developing travel management plans so that they're clearly aware and their communities are clearly aware of the services that we provide, the services that are provided under contract to the Ministry, and the services that are commercial and at risk.
Thank you.
Good. All right.
I haven't spoken to the motion, Mr Chairman, and it's my right to speak.
My eyebrows were obviously raised, Councillor Neil.
But I support the motion. But I did have some hesitation over the funding, and that was why I
was towards D rather than C, but I'm happy to support this motion. And I take some comfort in the fact that the money for the ORC can come from that transport reserve, because it is a bit airy-fairy of how much money that actually is. And the only other point I make is exactly the same as Councillor Kempton, that in this term four, for some of those students, ORC is actually subsidising them bypassing their year one to year eight schools. So I just make that point. However, I support the motion.
Did I see another hand or not? No? All right, good discussion. The reason I think I'm comfortable to support term four is that essentially gives until the 31st of January 2018 to come up with a sustainable solution amongst the community and the schools and a provider. So you're all aware of the recommendation, the motion? Don't need it reread again? It's been moved and seconded. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against?
No.
Carried.
One further question in relation to this issue. It follows this motion now that we've passed it, Steve, and it is this. What happens if we can't find a solution before the start of term four? Now, what I'm saying is we don't have a plan B. And I'm just raising that now with you because a whole lot of people have got to tick a box to get to a solution prior to term four, and that's problematic.
Well,
do we need to also be devising a plan B if this falls over? Is there a plan B?
Mr. Bodeker?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think there is a mood within this council to support and retain a bus service that has been withdrawn to accommodate school children. I think that we will negotiate as hard as we can to make our contribution as small as it should be. But we have a mood around this council table to make something work. And I don't want to disarm or derail the negotiation process with those comments. But we have the ability to ensure a solution is reached.
Right, good. Thank you, everyone, and been an interesting discussion. We'll just take a moment and reorganise the tables down the back of the room, please, before we move on to our next item. Our next item is...